Hello, beloved, and welcome to our weekly Bible study. And at this time, we are busy with spiritual warfare of the believer. And we've seen quite a few things already as we've worked our way through the previous 13 parts. This is part 14 in our series as we study spiritual warfare. I hope you've enjoyed the part on the armor of God. And now we're just going to continue. And the question that I'm asking today and we want to answer today is, who or what is our spiritual battle directed at? That's the question we want to answer. So before we continue though, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you, and thank you that we can know from Scripture through revelation that we are involved in a spiritual battle that comes from different fronts. And Father, thank you so much that we not only know it and get to know that we are in this battle, Father, but thank you so much for your word that reveals to us how we can handle the battle that we are in. So I want to pray, Father, please enable us to understand so we can apply it in our lives, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. And enable me as your servant to teach your people, Father, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Who or what is our spiritual battle directed at? Now, some time ago, before we started with the armor of God, we looked at this, and then I just want to kind of recap, because I believe it's important. We looked at the first thing, I think, and that is that our spiritual battle is directed at the devil. That's as clear as can be. I mean, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says to us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We know that already. I mean, that's what we were studying when we looked at the armor of God. Right, so we wrestle not against what we see. We wrestle against what we cannot see. Those things which are spiritual. And obviously, Satan is a spirit being. He's an angel. He's a fallen angel. All right. So our battle is against Satan, but not only Satan. It's also directed at other fallen angels who work with Satan to accomplish his purposes and his plans. All right. As the angels of God works with God to accomplish his purposes and his plans, but obviously God is the one who is supreme because he is God. And because he's supreme, he's over all, he's sovereign, he is almighty. He, at the end of the day, will accomplish what he set out to accomplish. It will happen. All right. Satan, on the other hand, tries to prevent God from accomplishing his purposes and plans. Satan hates God. He hates what God does. He hates the fact that God is sovereign. He hates the fact that God is the Almighty. He hates the fact that God is being worshipped. Satan wants all of that for himself. So what he does is he gets into a battle, right? Into warfare against God's people. In the Old Testament, we could see how that battle was against Israel. And now for us in the New Testament, we can see how that battle is against us who are in the church. It is just inevitable that we are going to be part of this battle because Satan hates God and Satan wants to destroy everything that belongs to God. He destroys God's creation. He destroys God's people. He destroys people that are, created in the image and likeness of God. He tempts mothers to kill their babies because he wants to destroy the babies. He destroys nature by all kinds of ways. The mines that dumps their rubbish in wherever they want. They are so, money-driven. They love money so much that they will destroy the environment. Where does that come from? They are worshippers of mammon. Who's mammon? Mammon is riches. It's wealth. All right? So what happens is, those kind of things we can all take back to Satan. The fact that this battle that we are in is directed at Satan, for example. There's obviously a few other things as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, with regards to the church, because remember that Satan wants to destroy the church. So how does he destroy the church? For him, there is one way to destroy the church, is, or let's say two ways. The one way is he infiltrates the church. And then from within, he starts doing certain things that destroys the church. Or he attacks the church from without through persecution, name-calling, name it, all kinds of things that Satan uses, anti-propaganda, violence against the church, all kinds of things. People talking nonsense about the church, all those kind of things Satan uses at the end of the day to try to destroy the church or destroy the reputation of the church, to try to destroy people inside the church. But we also know that Satan tempts people now to sin. If he can get leaders in the church, let's say prominent pastors in mega churches, big churches, as we have seen happen the past few years, if he can tempt senior pastors or leaders within the church to sin, especially when it comes to sexual immorality, if he can get them to do that, if he can tempt them to do that, he's actually not just destroyed the pastor, but he's actually got the church. When we look at the churches that Jesus speaks about in the book of Revelation, you will see, for example, when he speaks about Jezebel, she seduced the people in the church to basically start getting involved in sexual immorality. And in that way, she actually destroyed the church from within. And that's exactly what Satan does. He works through temptation, but he also works through deceit. He deceives people into believing certain things that are not true. He brings in heresies. He brings in doctrines of demons. He brings in false teachers that teaches false things. He brings in people who prophesies falsely. He brings in apostles that parade themselves as if they are apostles, but in fact they are not. Those are all things that we can see that Satan does. And our battle is against those things. We need to be wide awake, because Satan doesn't sleep. He continues to do whatever needs to be done to destroy the work of God. All right, and that's what he wants to do. So that becomes our spiritual battle. The moment we are regenerated, that means we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's light, the light of his Son. Once we become a member or a citizen of the kingdom of God, we will from that moment on be in a spiritual battle. How do we know that? Well, Revelation chapter 12 tells us that the dragon went to make war with the woman's offspring. And the woman's offspring are basically those people who came to faith in Jesus Christ. I believe it's referring to the church, and also, obviously, Jews that came to faith in Jesus Christ, who became part of the church. So everyone who are in the church are the ones that are going to be under the attack. So he's going to go and make war against the offspring of the woman. The woman, obviously, Israel. And at the end of the day, the dragon, which is the devil, the serpent in the garden, that's how Revelation actually tells us who he is. But the dragon makes war against the offspring of the woman. That's God's children. All right, so he wants to destroy God's people. That's exactly what he wants. But now, Scripture tells us, what should we be doing? Let me just get back to another few things. Some of the ways that he works in the church, we should be very vigilant with regards to that. One of the ways is the Apostle Paul, when he was ministering to the Corinthian church, when he wrote his, I think it was his second letter, when he wrote his second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 2:11, he says, lest he forgives the people of Corinth, the members of the church. He says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. All right, so the Apostle Paul knew how to handle the attacks of the devil, because he knew if he had harbored unforgiveness in the church and he did not forgive that person that was doing that grievous sin of having sexual relations with his stepmother, if he didn't forgive that person, more division would come into the church. Now, there would have been more widely divided. So Paul knew that was the way to basically stop the attack of Satan by forgiving that person. So what we can see through that is, when Paul says we're not ignorant of his devices, Satan loves unforgiveness. And he will always, always, always take advantage of unforgiveness in the church. That's like his playground. Beloved, and what we need to do is, we need to be very, very careful of unforgiveness in our lives. Don't harbor unforgiveness towards anybody in your life. Forgive everybody in the name of Jesus Christ. Set them free. It's not worth harboring unforgiveness in your life, because it will bring division. That's the way it works. Because that's what Satan does. He basically tempts people to sin, and when they sin, it causes division within the church. And it destroys churches. It destroys unity. It destroys the church from within. Okay? And then we need to understand that Satan targets the mind of believers. He wants believers to think on things that are useless. Things that doesn't have eternal value. And is he getting it right? Whoa. The distractions that believers experience is just beyond my understanding. And what does these distractions do? They take us away from the Word. They take us away from what the Word is teaching us. And it takes us away from intimacy and a relationship with Jesus Christ. And prayer and meditation, or let's say meditating on His Word and so on. So, very, very important that we need to understand how Satan works. But he will target the mind of the believers. Okay? But the amazing thing is, God has given us His Word so that we can study His Word. And as we study His Word, we realize, you know what? Whoa, 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 whoa. We've received tools that can actually help us in this battle that we are in. Tools that we can use that when Satan attacks my mind, I can say, thus saith the Lord. I can quote scripture. Okay? I can go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. And I pray, please, if there's any attack that's coming my way, I pray that you will resolve the issue, please. I pray that you rebuke Satan or any demonic influence or any demonic force, that you rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, please. So that I can be set free from this battle and be on the victory side, because I am on the victory side. You know, that kind of thing. All right, so we need to use scripture correctly. We looked at it when we looked at the armor of God, but I just want to emphasize it. All right, so we should use the Word of God as a sword, but we need to use it right. Okay, and then, obviously, one of the things that Satan loves, he loves it, lies. He loves lies. He's the father of lies. Lies kind of originate out of him. It flows out of him. He's the father of lies, and he's always lying. He's like this compulsive liar that can never ever stop himself or herself to lie. Whenever they open up their mouth, there might be a little bit of truth, but always mixed with lies. All right, so what Satan does is, he basically tempts God's people to lie. And when they lie, he's got them. He's got them right where he wants them. Because lies brings people into bondage. It is Christ that sets free. All right, the truth will set us free. We need to know scripture so that we can quote scripture, so that we will not fall into, let's call it, a lie bondage. Or lie chains of the devil, because he's going to tempt God's people to lie. And here we can include just, you know, these little small lies, these white lies. It's still a lie. Satan is also the father of those little white lies. So what we've done is we've downplayed white lies and said, no, it's not as bad. And then the big lies, those lies must be punished. Except, of course, if you're a politician. Then you lie all the time and there's no repercussions of what you say. Your words are always mixed with lies. It makes me think so much of the father that that their father, né, the devil. Because wherever somebody lies, I want you to listen very carefully, beloved. If people lie, it is not of God. Okay? That's it. If somebody lies, that person is off the devil. Bottom line. Okay, so our struggle is not to lie, but to live in the truth. Our struggle is to, how can I say, when somebody lies, not to fall for the lie, but to test whatever has been said to the word so that I can follow the word at the end of the day. And that is important. But you see, the thing is, no matter what we do, our spiritual battle is directed at the devil in the first place. It is how it is. Now, in James chapter 4, verse 7, James says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is how we handle it. Submit to God. In everything. Not just in certain things, beloved. Submit to God in every single thing. Okay, submit to him. And then what do you do? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Why? He doesn't flee because I'm the one that's resisting him. He will flee because I have submitted myself unto God. And because I've submitted myself unto God, I am now under his word. I'm now under his authority. I'm now under the Holy Spirit. I'm now, how can I say, hidden in Christ, in God, in Christ Jesus. All right, so now, because I'm submitted to God, when the devil is now resisted, he will flee, because it is like prayer. I go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you to rebuke Satan. Rebuke any of the demonic forces that tries to have an influence on what we are doing now. And they have to flee. Why? Because through prayer, when I go to the Lord in prayer, I submit myself to God. Okay. And why am I resisting the devil? Because I don't want the devil to be involved in the business of God. I want the devil to go. Okay. I want God, or God's work, to be elevated, to be done at a high standard, the way that God wants it done. And I don't want Satan to interfere in that. Okay, so at the end of the day, we need to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. In 1 Peter 5:8, Peter says, be vigilant, sober, for our adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. Ah, you remember the helm of salvation? And the shield of faith? Yep. So what we do is, I believe that I have salvation, and every fiery dart that is shot at me with the shield of faith, we stop each and every one of them. All right, but Peter says, be vigilant, be sober. Why? Because Satan, our enemy, he's walking around like a roaring lion, doing what? Seeking what? He's looking for someone to devour, someone to destroy. Because devour means to eat, to consume completely. That's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy people. Right now, Peter says, resist him. How do I resist him? Steadfast in the faith. Firmly rooted in salvation faith. That faith that I have in Jesus Christ, that trust that I have in Jesus Christ and him alone. That's how I resist the devil. I know I belong to the Lord, and I go to the Lord with all my issues, even the spiritual battle issues, and I ask the Lord to intervene. And when he does, that means I've resisted him. Okay? So, beloved, that's the reality that you and I face with regards to the spiritual battle that we are in. We cannot say for one moment that we are not in a spiritual battle, because that will be a lie. What we can do is, we can ignore the fact that we are in a spiritual battle. And we can start just doing things in the flesh, and you will realize very quickly that you cannot fight a spiritual battle with fleshly means. You can only fight a spiritual battle through spiritual means. All right? And that's something that we learn over time. But we will not be able to do it unless we spend time in the Word, we learn how to do it, and then we apply it and do it in our lives. And my purpose as a teacher is, when I get to that, I try to teach you how to do it and what to do, so that at the end of the day, we can be involved in the spiritual battle, but we can be conquerors in this battle. We are overcomers. We win at the end of the day, because God in Christ Jesus paid the penalty for our sin, saved us by His grace, is going to take us into glory forever and ever. And we stand on that truth. All right, so steadfast in the faith, we resist the devil. Okay, I hope that makes sense. I hope it is a blessing to you, as it's been a blessing to me to prepare it. I pray that the Lord will undertake and that the Lord will enable us to really understand that we are a spiritual people. Yes, we are physical. Yes, we have our flesh. Yes, we have we've got our struggles with our flesh as well. But we are in a spiritual world. We are part of a spiritual kingdom. Our weapons of our warfare are spiritual, not carnal. And everything that we do, there's a spiritual reality behind it. And the danger for us as particular Baptists or Reformed Baptists is that we can so easily just think about things logically and then work with the Bible as if it is this clinical book and forget that we are in a spiritual battle. Things around us are spiritual. We cannot see the devil. We cannot see the fallen angels. But yet, they are busy tempting people, drawing people away from the truth, getting them involved in false doctrine, tempting them to sin. Always busy. And if we're not vigilant, and we are not awake, and we not sober, we will fall into this, how can I say, the circle where Satan can devour us. So watch out. Stand firm in your faith. Stand firm in Christ. Because at the end of the day, we are on the winning side. And praise God for that. Praise the Lord for that. That's just amazing. Right, with that being said, let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we can come to you and know that our battle in the spiritual realm is not against flesh and blood, but against the devil. And thank you so much that we can know that as we submit to you, and we want to submit to you, Father, thank you that in our submission and in being and coming to you through prayer and using your word, Father, thank you so much that we can resist the devil and that he will flee from us. I pray that you make it real in our lives during this coming week, and may your name be glorified in and through each one of our lives. This we pray, not because we deserve anything, but we pray it in the glorious, wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved, thank you very, very much for listening. I hope it's been a blessing. I hope you've been educated. I hope it's been a teaching that helps you with a little bit of practical advice as well. So that at the end of the day, we can live as spiritual people in this world, obviously, but as spiritual people, being very well aware of the fact that we are in a spiritual battle every single moment of the day. But praise God, we are on the winning side. So God willing, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, may His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace. Bye-bye.